What kind of a person bullies a kid with disabilities? A lot more than you think. And as a parent, you're faced with choices. How do you address that? How do you deal with that? We're going to talk about that today on Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenbaum, along with co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation. Isaac Shapiro, my guest. Sorry, I got a lot of emotion today because we're talking about a topic that I've been thinking about for a long time, and that's bullying kids with disabilities. And it's something that I've been dealing with personally, not my kids directly, although there has been some of that, but I've been talking to a lot of parents who've been dealing with this over the last couple of days, and it just pisses me off so much. And I know we deal with a lot of positivity. We deal with a lot of constructive conversations on this show a lot, and we help people. And today is going to be one where we all got to pitch in and talk about how to deal with this in a constructive, positive way, because it's a big thing that's out there, and it's been happening a lot more lately, especially with the families and the people that I've been talking to. For some reason, there has just been it's been a topic that's been coming up a lot more than usual. I don't know about you guys, Mike, Isaac. Have you guys been experiencing this lately, or is it just something that I've been dealing with and noticing?
For me, not really, to be honest with you. They have, where Rosie goes, they do an amazing job. So I'm very, very curious to know, what is your story? Because for me, exposure with bullying for people with disabilities, kind of almost non-existent. So I'm very concerned, yeah. And I want to know what's going on.
Yeah, well, you know, look, one of the things that we can all just recognize from looking around, going on social media, is the rise of the R word again. Everybody sees that. I mean, that's something that a couple of years ago, people weren't using that word, and now it's kind of made a comeback, and people are using it a lot more casually in conversation, and that's a whole other show, I guess, but I think it kind of blends into this conversation today. But look, I was having a conversation with a parent at our school, and my daughter and my son both go to a school. It's an inclusive school. It means that kids with disabilities sit side by side with typical kids who sit side by side with gifted kids. All these kids sit side by side at the school. It's an amazing place. When you leave that bubble, though, and kids aren't exposed to kids who appear different, act different, have different disabilities, stuff like that, it's a different world. But what concerns me specifically this time is I was talking to a parent who has two kids. I was a single mom, has a son and a daughter, and the older son is leaving our little bubble and going to a different school and is concerned that the son is being bullied at our school, at like our place, our little safe space, which is like an amazing place where there's exposure and we're doing everything right, and there's still bullying happening. And I was asking, like, what kind of bullying are we talking about? And this kid is visibly different and is just dealing with stuff that a kid shouldn't have to deal with when you're this young and you have disabilities and things that, you know, you can't change, you can't deal with. And the mom was concerned that this kid is going into high school next year and the bullying is going to get worse, because if it's already affecting kid and the family at a place where you're dealing with kids who are exposed to people who are different, imagine when you go to a place when you're dealing with kids who aren't exposed to people who are different. And it's terrifying for that family. And I was having conversations with other people and from different schools, and I have heard a couple similar stories, horror stories from other parents who have kids with disabilities who were going to other schools, who were kind of telling me that when they first started at different places that they were experiencing similar experiences, and that sucks and I hate it. So I was having conversations with people and just picking people's brains and talking about, like, okay, what's the right advice to give to this parent and other parents who have kids who are experiencing, you know, that kind of bullying situations, or they're concerned that they're going to another school and are concerned that they're going to experience this at another school, my brain automatically jumped to sports because this is how I dealt with it when I was a kid. And I remember growing up, there was a kid that I grew up with. His name was Chad, and he was significantly disabled, and he had a dog with him. And what his first off, he was the best. And what his parents did when he did was he was a lover of sports. And what his parents did is he went to the athletic director at my high school, and he got involved with all the sports programs. And he got to know all of the athletes, on the football team, on the baseball team, on the wrestling team, and everybody. I mean, he was the best kid in the world also, which helps. But he became friends with like the coolest, the big, strong, popular kids at school, and everybody got to know him. And once you get to meet this kid and understand like he's the best, all of a sudden he had like a band of brothers that were looking out for him, and nobody messed with this kid. And he's in, you know, all of our high school pictures and stuff. Chad's right there with everybody, and everybody loved him. And I was talking to my brother, who's a high school football coach in a school in California. And I was asking him, I was like, look, if a parent came up to you and said, like, I have a kid who has some disabilities and we're trying to figure out a way to have him, you know, I'm concerned about bullying. He's dealing with some of this at his school right now. I want to set him up for success at the next school. If I came and talked to the athletic director and met with the football coach, baseball coach, wrestling coach, basketball coach, et cetera, and just said, I want my kid to just have a role with these teams and get to know the players and stuff like that. Does that work? And my brother was telling me like that happens, and he loved it. I mean, he said it was a great idea that it's not foolproof. There, you know, it doesn't always work 100% of the time, but most people are good people. And if a parent comes to you and says like, I'm concerned about, you know, my kid facing bullying, and you deal with a coach who wants to like bring your kid in and introduce him to the team, like most of the time it's a good plan, and the kids will rally around your kid and bring him in, and he'll be a part of the team, and he'll make 20 friends right off the bat, and you'll have, you know, a built-in group of friends that'll help look out for your kids.
I love that you're already jumping into the solution, but I got a couple of clarifying questions here.
Yeah, go ahead
on this.
Go ahead.
You know, just because some of the things I'm thinking about, you know, you would ask, are you aware of bullying? Well, I hear about bullying, whether you have a disability or not, is still a big thing. So when you're talking about this, is this in school? Do you see it also evolving to online bullying? Like, I'm just very curious, because like I said, I'm hearing about this with parents, you know, that are dealing with it, where their child doesn't have a disability, but the whole online bullying thing has become a thing. So can you maybe get a little bit deeper into, is this becoming more broad in that sense, and that's why it's maybe amplifying, because we're hearing about social media? So I just want to get a little bit deeper into
the people that I was talking to specifically were dealing with, like, you know, personal in-person bullying
situations. Okay.
You know, it was happening, you know, on campus, in-person stuff, in class, stuff like that.
To their face or behind their back, loud enough that they can hear it, things like that.
Right. Yeah, mocking, things
like
that.
So I have a question, and I think this is also a piece of relevant information. Is the kid being bullied physically disabled or intellectually disabled? And to what degree?
The one in particular that I was talking to, has, intellectual disabilities, and then, it's obvious there's physical disabilities that go along with that.
I understand. Not that it makes it okay, one or the other, but I think there's an element of inclusivity or that can be adjusted based on what the understanding is.
Yeah. And then another question for maybe both of you is, since my children are still young and doing that, you're talking about your children are in inclusive schools. So not every school has a program where your children are integrated with people with, you know, that have disabilities, like, right? Can you give just a little bit clarity? Because I think you're saying that they're going to go to another school that doesn't have this. So I'm assuming the schools that you have, they're unique, even maybe as a part of a public school. So maybe some background on some of that would be helpful.
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, the school we go to right now is a charter school. It's affiliated with LAUSD, Los Angeles, you know, Unified School District. And It's a great school. The school where my kids go to school is fantastic. But, you know, no school is perfect, right? And even when you preach inclusivity and, you know, exposure to people who are different than you, which is, you know, so important, that there are still people who, you know, don't learn all the lessons. And there are still things that are happening that force people to, you know, insecurities that are happening or for whatever reasons that, you know, lead kids to bully other kids, right? So whatever's happening, this kid in particular is getting made fun of or whatever at school. And unfortunately, there aren't enough people around him, adults or other students, to stop it. Unfortunately, at this particular place right now, hopefully that happens. Hopefully the mom is talking to other administrators, other professionals that are kind of helping to stop it. Other kids around school see it, stop it too. You hope that happens. But also as the kids get older and they go to high school, you know, when you see a kid with a disability and it's an obvious disability and you see somebody making fun of a kid with a disability, that somebody will say, hey, that's not okay. And actually say something to stop the bully from doing something like that. And I just feel like, you know, exposure is so important, right? And as a parent, you just try to find your way. You know, it sucks to feel that pressure as a parent to have to try to put your kid constantly in a position to succeed. But if you know this is happening already, it sucks that you have to do it, but you have to do it. And so you have to take steps to try and put your kid in the best possible situation to not be picked on and stuff like that. And it's not fair. It's not fair at all. And I feel so horrible for that particular parent and other parents who are dealing with this, but it's the reality of the situation. You got to figure out a way to put your kid in the best possible situation to succeed and not deal with this. Sorry for the
language. Now, Evan, do you talk to Sydney about that, you know, and say, hey, you know, like, do you have that conversation setting it up, or do you wait for an incident to happen? Or like you're saying, do you talk to your child? So do you talk to Sydney already about that, knowing maybe?
Yeah, I mean, we've had experiences with that where, you know, we've had kids that come up to Sydney. And, you know, Sydney is Sydney's my daughter. She's 10 years old. She has severe cerebral palsy. She's nonverbal and she's in a wheelchair. And she is very obviously visibly different than most kids, right? And we've had other kids who are her age, who are older, who are younger, who have come up and multiple times over the years who have made rude comments to her. And most of the time it's not mean-spirited. They're not trying to be mean to her intentionally. There has been an occasion or two, I think we've talked about it on the show, where a kid has said something mean and I've tried to give the kid the benefit of the doubt and be like, come on, like, hey. But sometimes they take it too far. You just have to draw a line and you have to, you know, you're trying to protect the other kid's feelings. You're trying not to be mean to the other kid, but also my priority is to protect my daughter's feelings too. If I could tell my daughter's feelings are hurt by what some other kid's saying, there's a point where you just have to stop the interaction from happening and protect your daughter. So that's happened too. And then I have to shut it down and then have a conversation with my daughter and say, hey, look, you know, not you're the best. You are so friendly. We had a situation this past weekend where we were outside of our bubble. We had left town and kids aren't used to seeing a 10-year-old in a wheelchair. And they stop and they stare. And Sydney will say hi and she'll wave and she'll try to engage. And kids will just stare at her like she's a zoo animal. And she doesn't understand why they don't want to engage back. And they're just looking at her because they haven't seen a kid in a wheelchair before. And it's confusing to her because everybody at her school, when she waves and says hi, people say hi back and they wave and they want to talk and listen to music and share all that stuff. And they don't get, and she doesn't get why people in the outside of her world don't want to engage with her. So you have to explain like, hey, you know, sometimes people just, you know, they're not used to seeing somebody who talks with a computer. They, you know, and they, it's different and it's interesting to them. And sometimes they don't know how to talk and express themselves. And you explain that to Sydney and sometimes she gets it and she's understanding and sometimes she's a little frustrated, but try to explain to her the best you can. She's a pretty happy person overall. I don't think she's bothered by it at this point. You know, I haven't really seen her get too angry about it at this point, yeah. But she's only 10.
Now, Mike, what about your situation since, you know, your daughter, you know, you're saying you're not dealing with that. So
it's different for us.
Is that, yeah. So talk about that.
So I want to go back to a comment you said, Evan, earlier about, you know, as a disability parent, we always need to, any parent does the best they can for their kids. But I think as a disability parent, you have a lot of other things to consider. The schools they go to, Sydney goes to a charter school. We picked a school district that has programs specifically tailored to life skills for Rosie. And we moved across the country. One of the reasons we went to this school and moved from Los Angeles to Philadelphia was for that reason, because you do the best that you can. You'll do whatever you can for your kids. And fortunately, God bless us, we're, you know, fortunate enough to be able to do that. It's interesting, and I'm glad that we did, because at Rosie's specific school, they do more than integration. And they really, like, get every kid, regardless of the grade, familiar and exposed to the people with disabilities in the school. And they remove the stigma. You're gonna have kids at any school that have parents. I think it's facts of fact. But our school in particular really, like, makes it as, like, not an issue as possible. And what I've seen, when Rosie's in school, it's so accepting, and everybody says hi to her, and she says hi to everybody, and everybody, like, knows her and talks to her, and they understand. She speaks with a device, and they even know, like, her behaviors. Like, Rosie sometimes, when, like, she stims and kids will look, but they're taught why. You know, you're right. And when we go outside of school or outside of the bubble at a restaurant, it's a little bit different, because we don't know where all of those kids come from. And sometimes pressure is too much for Rosie, and she will grab people's hair, right? That's one of her behaviors, is she'll grab people's hair.
The death grip.
And she's not hurting anybody. She's not pulling people's hair. She just grabs it. It's a reaction. And if you're a stranger at a restaurant, and this has happened many times, you're like, what is going on? Like, you know what I mean? And it's probably one of the most stressful, embarrassing, like, hard moments as a parent. Like, you have to go to this person and pry your kid's hand off their hair that's not pulling and explain why. But still, to this day, we've never experienced a situation with Rosie in school, out of school, where it's been bad or negative. People, at least in our surroundings, understand and can see the difference. That's not to say that Rosie's not stared at, because to your point, Evan, sometimes they stare at her. Often they stare at her. She's clearly not, she doesn't look like everybody else, and she's in a wheelchair, or she's in her walker, or she's stimming and doing things that typical children don't do. And I'm not sure how aware of that she is, or if she is, thank God she doesn't care. And I'll go to the other side of this. Like, her sisters will go up to people who are staring at Rosie and say, that's my sister. She's in a wheelchair, or she's disabled. And, like, they'll smooth it out. So there's just the support system, the family, like, the friends that do understand. I think it's super helpful. And I would say, like, to encourage a reduction in bullying or weird situations like that, like, the more people that are accepting, that can support and help and speak to people that don't know, is certainly helpful. Bullies, I mean, it's the worst. There's a whole symptom there that needs to be dealt with and fixed. And, you know, I feel terrible for any kid that has to endure bullying. But then on the other side, I have sympathy for the kid that has to bully, because what's going on there?
Yeah. I mean, you think about it, and there's a lot of insecurity there. There's a lot of, you know, when you're a kid and you're bullying another kid and you start peeling back layers, there's so many factors that could go into that, right? Yeah. There's probably stuff going on at home. There's probably stuff going on with you. There's probably stuff, you know, you probably need help. And it really is a cry for help when you are taking it out on, especially a kid with disabilities who has a harder time defending his or herself than a typical person. It's usually a cry for help, but it doesn't make it okay. If you're the parent of a disabled kid, you're not like, oh, little Johnny over there has got some stuff at home that makes it okay for him to pick up.
Go make
my
fun
kid.
Of my kid.
No, you're like, yeah, no way.
I think there's two ways to look at this. Cause, you know, we heard when Drew came on and he was handy cop and people actually threatened to beat him up, like, yeah, what the heck, where's your head? So where's that? And then I actually think you guys bring up a good point. It's not bullying, but it's still something, you know, that again, was been a lot of my motivation in life. It used to bother me when people stared at my mom and I walking into a restaurant, you know, so there is that, like you said, that stigma. And I still think like that bothered me a lot. And it'd be annoying as a child and be like, why are you guys staring at us? So it's great that your kids are going up and approaching. And I think what I've learned is people aren't staring out of, you know, rudeness. It's just curiosity. And doing that. And I think that balancing act of like, how do you change it and recognize that, hey, you could change someone's perception, you know? So it's great that your daughter is out talking to people and that's what's going to help change it rather, you know, and instead of being upset, because I felt like I was a little bit chip on my shoulder of like, oh, why do people stare? You know, I'd actually stare back and like glare at people. So I like that your kids are going up and talking because I think you just, it's really just people don't know. And
I think also we do this show to talk about this, to reduce the stigma and to educate people. And I think for the same reasons we do this show, if we're ever in a situation in public, you talk about it. Like when people stare, like to me, like I understand and I'll go answer a question or I'll hear a kid saying, mommy, why is she in a wheelchair? And then I'll just say to the daughter and the mom or whoever the kid is that's looking and I'm like, oh, she's disabled and this is what her issue is and here's what it means. And I think you're making an impact on that kid and certainly the parent as well. And hopefully that in that moment, they won't forget it and they'll understand in the future as more exposure to people with disabilities or anybody that's different from them, you know, it's okay to ask and just how to be more accepting in the future.
Going back to my sports thing from earlier in the show, when I was talking about going and finding a sports team, I want to say, like, I'm not saying go find the biggest, strongest kids and that way, you know, they can beat up whoever bullies your kid. I think the message that I was trying to articulate earlier was you just got to find a group that will, you know, you got to find a tribe for your kid, right? And whether, you know, for me, you know, we're a sports oriented family and I know that, you know, Sydney likes sports, but she also really likes music and she likes dancing. And for her, when she goes into high school, you know, when that day comes, you know, for us, and you know, when I'm not going to the football team and the football coach and saying, hey coach, Sydney wants to be the water girl for the football team. No, for her, it'll be the, you know, the theater person, the music person, and the cheerleading person, all that stuff. That's what Sydney loves. And I'll talk to those people and I'll make sure that Sydney's involved with those groups. And, you know, Sydney will hopefully have exposure with those, the students and the adults that are running those programs, and she'll make friends there. And she'll have a group of friends that'll, you know, look out for her the same way that like the football team looked out for my friend Chad when we were growing up. And it helped.
Is that not normal? Like, I mean, I think like, as you talk about this, you got to advocate for your child. So I'm thinking, you know, what are parents doing today when they're getting to high school? Like, I would think the same thing, go, you know, trying to find things of their interest, but you're talking like it's normal. Is that not normal right now, Evan, or?
Well, look, if I'm just cutting the from being honest with you, if I had a son and my son was being physically, if there was a concern that he was being physically bullied, I'm not going to just sit here and say kumbaya. I would make sure that my son was hooked in with the biggest, strongest kids in school. All right. I'm just being honest with you, because if I was concerned that my son was getting physically, if I was concerned for my son's physical safety, I would make sure that my son was being protected by the people who could protect my son. I mean, that's just being honest with you. And I know that sounds caveman, barbaric, whatever, but like, that's just the truth.
No, you're
like,
protecting.
That's what I would do.
That you're being a parent and you want to make sure your kid's protected and safe. You do what you need to do.
That's right. And so that's why I would go, if I was in the situation as the parent that I talked about at the beginning of the show, that's what I would do. I would go to the football coach, the wrestling coach, the basketball coach, the baseball coach. And if I was concerned that there was a physical element of danger for my son, that there was a kid at school that was threatening any kind of physical violence, that was touching my kid, getting too close to my kid, I would go to the football coach. And here's the conversation I would have. I'm not saying that this kid, I don't know the kid's diagnosis, but in this hypothetical, let's say that my kid had severe autism, okay? I would say, my kid is severely autistic, and he's run into some people who mistreat him because of it. I want him to be, you know, he loves sports. He loves football. He loves being a part of a group. He has a hard time making friends. I'm telling you, I will support any efforts to as a parent to keep him involved, football team, whatever you need from me, you have my full support. I want him to be involved and I want him to be a part of this group. I want him to be a part of this team. I want him to experience what a team is like. Football team sounds great. The program sounds great. You can consider me an ally and a support, whatever you need from me as a parent. What I need from you is to make sure that he feels supported by the team. Whatever you need from him, as far as, you know, he'll come to every practice. He'll come to every game. He'll come to every meeting, whatever it is. He'll be there. He'll be just as committed as all the players are. And he'll be a part of the brotherhood. I want him to be friends with everybody. I want him to feel as included. Can you commit to me the same way that I'll have him commit to the team? And if the coach says yes, great. Because I know that what'll grow from that is the brotherhood and the connections and the respect for each other. And ultimately, the protection that I'm looking for him. I know that'll happen. I've seen it happen. I've experienced it. I've talked to other people who have told me the same. I'm not saying that's foolproof and that's going to happen every single time, but that'll make me feel a lot better too.
You're certainly doing what you need to do and makes you feel comfortable and probably could produce an outcome that you want. And I'd also like to imagine that in today's world, there's a team member that has a family, a relative, something that's disabled, somebody on the coaching staff has that, so they might be more open and sensitive to that. So I think what you're suggesting is actually great and to do. You know, hearing what you're saying makes me feel incredibly thankful to the district that we are in, because they do this with everybody, all the teachers, all the staff. Like, they're just so open and like, not that it's foolproof, but like, wow, we have a good out here.
Well, like I said, bullying isn't just, you know, disabled.
It's for everybody.
Children with disabilities. It's, you know, that's what I think it's.
But the staff, you know, the school staff needs to be like super aware of it and open to prevent it and do what they need to do to make every kid feel included, disabled or not.
And then for my son, who's typical, well, the lessons I'm trying to teach my son is when you see somebody that's mistreating somebody else, you stand up and stop it. You be the leader. I'm sure you guys have seen videos online where you see, you know, somebody getting mistreated or whatever, and then you see all the bystanders that just sit there and watch like it's a reality show. I hate that. Whenever I see these videos and I see people like, you know, you see somebody that's something horrible happening and then you see everybody in the background just watching, just like put their arms crossed, like watching it happen. No, man. If you see somebody that's being mistreated, like, and you're a good person, you stop it. Hey, you can't talk to somebody that way. You don't treat somebody that way. You stop it.
So let me ask you a question. How do you deal with this in your opinion? So let's just say there's bullying going on in school, and whether it's towards somebody who's disabled or not disabled, but there's a bully and bully's been talked to. Bully's been dealt with the school. Bullying continues, right?
Sure.
And there's consequences. Maybe the consequences at school are severe or not severe enough, but it continues. How do you escalate that? What do you do, in your opinion, to deal with that to make it stop? School's done what the school's going to do. 5-day suspension, whatever. Neighborhood kids, right? What do you do then?
Man, I'll tell you what I would do as a privileged person, as I would go to a different school. I mean, that's the first thing I would do at that point. If I felt that my kid was in any kind of physical danger, right? Physical danger, and the school wasn't doing anything to stop it, and I felt like it was a matter of time before things escalated to a point where I thought my kid was going to get hurt. Nope. We're done. We're out. I'm not putting my
what
I'm not,
not
sending
school,
my kid
though? What
into
if it's
danger.
Neighborhood.
Man, I think that you try to switch up your routines and you put your kids in programs to take them away from the dangerous situation. I've always felt like having a fully packed schedule when you're a kid keeps them from, like, because when they have free time when you're a kid,
that is when trouble comes along, right? It's when the kids that like don't have stuff to do always find trouble to get into. When you have a fully packed schedule, you know, when you're going straight from school to music, to drama, to football, to baseball, to whatever class, to whatever religious school, whatever it is, when you're going from one to the next and whatever, and then you go home and you have dinner and then you go to bed, it's hard to get into trouble when you like, you know, every minute's accounted for. I know you need a break every now and then, but like, it's hard to just, you know, wander off into trouble that when you have stuff like that, right? It's when you have school and then school's done and then you like have a couple hours where you're unaccounted for and you can just find trouble that you find trouble, right? Especially when you're 13, 14, 15 years old. Think about it.
Well, I think we're getting close to an end here, but let's remember 1 in 5 kids is bullied out there. So I think, you know, it's great that we're continuing to talk about it, especially in the disability community, because we have all witnessed it growing up, I think. So I think, you know, it's great that we're talking about it and, you know, looking to continue to help parents talk about it, you know, because I think it's important, just like we see with racism, it's taught at home. And, you know, so how do we get people to really just create awareness around it? And I think we're doing what we need to do on our side to raise awareness, because it is important, especially in our community where we see kids with disabilities definitely being bullied because of their physical appearance.
I will tell you, don't mess with the parents of a kid with disabilities, because it's just a little different.
Yeah. It also helps that I'm friends with a lot of MMA fighters, man. So don't mess with my kids. Please don't. Anyway. All right. That's going to do it here. For us, a trip of my
we're gonna not incriminate ourselves for the end of this.
Yeah. Hey man, I worked for the UFC for a little while, man. You make friends with people who, you know, sometimes know how to put you out. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. All right. Anyway, that's gonna do it for us here at Driven by Purpose. Sorry, calm it down. Remember, if you like, you want to support, like, follow, subscribe, tell a friend, leave a comment, all that good stuff. And we will see you next time.
See everyone.
Good talking to you. Don't bully kids.
Don't bully kids.
Don't do it.